We turn to you when light gets dim. We turn to you with temptation to sin. We turn to you because you're our kin. Because we're your kin. Fucking hell. I'm going to hell.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for asking. Thank you very much. Well, you know what? I messed up earlier today, apparently. Henda can work on Keith and the Girl sometimes by herself, but if Keith does it, I think he fucks it up.
No, you think that's true?
That's interesting.
Really? Is that what you're thinking?
Maybe.
Well, let's go over what we did, and then you can give me examples of what I've done before. All right.
KeithandTheGirl.com/feedback to interact with us, to see where everybody's hanging out. KeithandTheGirl.com/chat. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for spreading the word. Lance Anderson works with what's called the LA Podcasters. Put us on a LA podcasting panel, even though we're from New York.
At the podcasting a convention last year,
right,
which is actually the Portable Media Expo.
And you can find these, you can find two shows that we did as part of a panel that we always end up taking over. We don't really care what it's about. One of the panels, remember this? This is almost a year ago, but one of the panels was Video Killed the Audio Star.
Oh, that's right. And we're the audio.
We're the audio stars. Okay, I'll do it. Sounds good. Didn't take long before that whole discussion changed.
Meanwhile, I mean, you know, the listeners help because all of a sudden, you know, we have our listeners gathered in front. And not to brag, but we had the most listeners right in front. So
Keith and the Girl does audio.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
never mind this topic.
It really helped, you know. And then all of a sudden it turns into a big auction of who knows more Keith and the Girl stuff. We're throwing t-shirts out.
Right.
It was really cool.
And he's trying to get us riled up. Like, what do you think of video? Shitty, huh? Like, yeah, nobody likes watching things. I don't think that'll catch on.
But it came out really good, and he turned it into a couple of his shows, right?
Well, he asked us to be on it again, and we said, well, we're not going to the expo this year. We don't feel like we learned anything. We feel like if something's that important, we find out anyway. We're going to find out. There's going to be a press release about the next big thing.
Right. I mean, the good thing about it is that we go and we meet people that maybe we would be in touch with.
What was that?
I don't know.
Was that check the door? Yeah, I mean, I'll check it.
Mm.
Well, tell everybody what's happened.
I heard noise.
You want them to call the police?
Sorry, we'll be right back. I think we're going to take this part out of the show, but some of you might know that I have this thing, and I have my back facing the door in the studio. The people with the camera can see it, but I heard a noise, and it came from behind me. There's nobody right by the door, but he just went downstairs to check if somebody's at our front door, but it was really scary. I'm not okay with having my back towards the... And I just saw you from my peripheral coming in. I'm like, I hope that's Keith. Anyway, so I'm not okay with my back to the door, and that noise just scared me. And the fact that it scared you a little bit, Keith, was really frightening.
I thought you dropped something. You know what? If somebody came in...
Oh, my God, they really scared me.
If I thought... Like, just now, if I heard noise...
Right.
If I knew that you would be okay, I'd be like, let's just hope for the best.
What do you mean?
If you're robbing into our house, do it when we're doing a show. Carry an MP3 player with you. Listen live. I wouldn't move. I'm fine. Today's the day.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, where were we?
I'm sorry. Okay, so anyway, so the good part about meeting these people that maybe would get in touch with us anyway, most likely would get in touch with us anyway, is that you have faces to the names and you have, you would have met with them already,
right,
have partied with them already, and you kind of have a rapport.
Right.
So that's good. Now, the thing is we've been going the last couple of years. It's only been on the last couple of years. This year will be the third time. And we're like, you know what? It's really expensive for us to go. Last year, it was really cool because we ended up doing an LA show that you can find on keithandthegirl.com/live.
Yeah.
So it was good.
But that's the fun part. And that's what everybody knows. It's like, it's a party.
And my brothers
party.
Live there.
Right.
And, you know, there's like a good reason. And it is a party. We go down there. We just party all the time. We're only at the actual convention an hour or two. And I'm antsy the whole time. People in the booth sometimes don't really know how to answer our questions, and that's what they're there for.
They don't know what they're selling. They don't know what they're selling. Or you find out after the two times we've been there, they're very excited about what they're doing, and then there's absolutely no business follow-up.
Yeah, there's no follow-up on it. So the people that we met through there, we kind of already knew. Right. Through email and whatever. It was really great to meet them. People like Kiptronic, the Lipsin boys we met over there was really cool. Rob from Podcast 411, he was awesome. Right. I mean, we almost wanted to go just to see him, and now he's not going this year. So we'll see him at the Dragon Con, which seems to be the new situation for us. So anyway, so it's a lot of money to spend to go out there just to party. So it's not happening this year is our point.
So it turns out Lance Anderson is writing some kind of article for Podcast User Magazine. And he said, hey, Keith, I know you two are not coming for this year's expo, but I thought you might want to chime in for a story I'm doing for a Podcast User Magazine. Thanks,
And Lance. We've been in Podcast User Magazine before.
Yeah, April, I believe. Here are a few questions to get you going. So this will get me start talking about the expo. They can do a nice article on it. I don't think Hendel was pleased with my answers and a little upset that I didn't run it by her first. What are you really looking forward to at this year's expo? And I said, I'm looking forward to a few exciting businesses talking big plans and nobody following through. I'm also looking forward to the majority not even knowing what they're trying to sell. Will you miss the sense of community that Ontario fosters? This, of course, is Ontario, Canada.
California.
California, excuse me.
Which is where the PME is.
Right, of course. No, everyone hates everyone else and hopes they fail. I won't miss these fake scumbags in the least.
I'm not saying it's not funny.
But I mean it.
I know.
Do you think the move to Vegas in 2008 will be good for podcasting and new media? It'll be good if there's drinks on the floor in 2008 so people can get numb and trudge through this stupidity one more year. We walked through that. Whenever we walked through all the booths, we're like, that's it? Let's walk through again?
Yeah.
Let's walk through again one more time. And then
the first year, everyone was excited about, like, oh, they're giving out free shit and blah, blah, blah. Keith and I slept in. By the time we got to the expo, it was like 1 or 2 o'clock. I had balloons with me. There's some pictures up for sure about this. And, you know, our big thing was like, because we almost bought a booth the first time. This was, like, very hyped.
Right.
And it was very expensive to buy a booth. My brother almost, like, you know, sponsored it for us or whatever, like, tried to help us. And thank God we didn't. We would just be stuck there.
So
by the time we got there, everyone's like, I got free this, free that. We walked to all those booths where everybody got everything.
I got seven nanos. All you had to do was go to the nano booth. Excuse me, you're the booth giving away nanos? It fell at this card. Maybe you'll win one. Fuck you. I was like, what's everybody getting stuff from? They can't tell me. This is your sense of community, Lance. They don't get, if they told me where they got their free shit wouldn't be taken away, but still they can't tell you. There's your podcasting sense of community. Everybody hopes everybody fails, and they're scumbags. Scumbags. I do remember the one booth where the guy had a protective skin for your iPod. So he gives you the iPod in a box, and in that box is a bunch of nails, and you can shake it up and scratch it. But you can't scratch it because it's so good. But you know what I did? I scratched it. I think he was a little upset.
He was visibly upset.
I believe this is when Jeremy, right? Didn't he also open the box? And he opened the box.
Glitter Avenger?
Yeah, took a nail. There's nails in the box. And just dug into the iPod. He's like, and he cries. He's like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, I don't know. It doesn't look very protective.
And isn't that where we met Jeremy too?
I think so, yeah. Will this year in Ontario be the last opportunity to get a feel for what podcasting was like in the early days? And my response is, whatevs. What are your fondest expo memories so far? Being on a panel with Lance Anderson. Other than that, who gives a shit? Send.
God. What do you think that's something that you need to run through your business partner for a second?
I figured, like we said it on the show, what's the matter if I put it in print form? The expo is stupid and the salesmen there are stupid.
When we say it on the show, we mention the people that we actually did enjoy meeting and that we elaborate on it. And it was like the lack of, like, anything to say positive about anything you met there ever for a magazine that only podcasters basically see.
Good. Fuck them.
Fuck who? Lipsin? We like Lipsin.
See, you're confused. Like, people are getting... Well, we work with them. We make some money from them. I think they know we like them. We like you with every check. Don't worry. Your ace is here.
For those who don't know, Wizard is a... with Lipsin.
Right.
And so we're signed up with Wizard. WIZZARD. Lightning.
right before the show.
Wait, but when did I ever do this?
When did you ever do
it? You were going to say right before the show, I was. You told me about this. You're like, hey, look, I wrote this interview. You're all proud of yourself, right? And I was like, yeah, thanks for running it by me.
Mm-hmm.
So when did I ever not run something by you that was extreme? Like that. Like an
interview.
It
doesn't bother me,
really.
But many times. Many times.
When?
I wrote this on behalf of us. You don't mind, do you? And I don't mind.
I was never like, and fuck them all and we hate it.
I didn't see the big deal. It's for podcast. It's not for the Times.
I understand that, but it doesn't matter who it's from. Everything needs to be taken seriously. And you know what?
As a matter of fact, I seriously hate them. I seriously won't miss not going. And all you podcasters are cocksuckers. Seriously. Now, should I ran that by you so it... You should have wrote in a flowery font on the bottom. Not you, these guys. You know that. We're buddies. Oh, Keith. That's what you should have wrote at the end. Can you add that into the... Kemba responds with, oh, Keith. Hey, what's going on, young Keith and the girl?
Hey, Keith, how come you yourself do not have a Keith and the girl tattoo?
I find it egocentric.
That would be pretty pretentious.
I think it'd be pretentious.
Oh, I guess so. Like, to have your own thing?
Yeah.
Because, like, you're stressing, like, everyone to be so devoted, and then you don't have one yourself.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I've thought about, like, him having the girl tattooed on him, like,
Keith's. Oh, and you could have the Keith with the beer. Oh, that would
be
fantastic.
Like, on our finger when we're ready and whatever. But I just think it's still...
You could have it on your forehead.
Right?
The other person's face.
How am I going to take you seriously now?
Yeah, I was. You know what? You were just convincing me too.
Right.
Get out of here, crackhead. All right. Thanks for the call.
Wait, but speaking of tattoos, can we talk about what our agent told us today?
Sure. We have a literary agent.
Because we're writing a book.
Mm-hmm, a Keith and the Girl book. And what did he say? He said, if our book makes it on the New York Times bestseller list, he will get a Keith and the Girl tattoo.
Yeah. That was really cool. I'm like, done. And I know he's doing it just to motivate us to get it going. And he's into the show. And he definitely believes in, I mean, obviously he believes in us. He approached us, like the whole thing. It was, and he's a very cool guy. But we're like, okay, I know you're doing this for motivation, like get your listeners on it, get, you know, hype around it and whatever. But I'm like, I don't care. You still said.
I'm going to knock on his office door with the Times in one hand and a tattoo maker machine in the other.
TJ in the other hand.
That's right. somebody wrote...
Oh, in fact, I want to send him one of the temporary tattoos to be like, get ready.
Get ready. It's this, but bigger.
Oh, which reminds me. You could send a self-addressed stamped envelope if you want any. If you want the Keith and the Girl tattoo or the Keith and the Girl sticker. We're also getting buttons and
bumper stickers.
The bumper stickers are going to be like 10 by... I forget. They're going to be big, so don't send any old envelope for that. And just wait until we get them in a couple of weeks, and I'll give you more information. But all of those you can get for free with a self-addressed stamped envelope.
In the meantime, keep doing what you've been doing. Rate on your car and let everybody know. But we will have these stickers fairly soon.
But the regular stickers right now and the tattoos are available. Just send the self-addressed stamped envelope. All the information is on the keithandthegirl.com website.
Somebody, I have it. I have the clip I saved. But during some after show, some kid was... picking on Brother Love, saying, you know, I don't get the name, it's not too tough. And you know what? All band names seem ridiculous until they make it. You know?
Yes.
Stone Temple Pilots.
That's true.
You know, that seemed genius. Kiss, brilliant.
You know, Run DMC.
Sell a couple albums. Oh, I couldn't have thought of anything better than Rolling Stones. That's perfect.
Run DMC had a huge issue. I think their manager named them and they were really pissed about it until they hit and they were like, I guess it worked.
Right.
So, and Run DMC is stupid.
Right.
As a name. But yeah, you don't think about it. Nirvana is the only cool name.
Brother Love, you will never make it, and this and that. And he said, and I have it saved. I'm going to find
really?
You, sir. He said, if you make it in Billboard, I will get a Brother Love tattoo.
In Billboard? I made it in Billboard.
All right. Well, get your fucking arm ready, dude. Start alcoholing it up. anyway, Lance wrote back right just before the show. I just printed this out just now. Hey, dude, classic. You have definitely given me something I can use. So it might make
I
paper
told you. Because Keith was like, because Keith's excuse for not showing it to me first was,
They're
not going to use it. I'm like, that's what they send things to you for, so that you can spew out bullshit like that, so that they can use it. Well, you think anyone else is writing an interview like that for him? Everyone else is like, I can't wait to meet so-and-so, and I can't wait to see so-and-so.
I have an idea.
They won't use it. Amazing.
I have an idea. I'm going to run by Mark Hunter. Anyway, man, thanks for adding a little punk rock fuck you to the piece. That's why I went to the source.
Uh-huh.
You tricked me.
I can't believe you don't know who you are yet.
Do you think you'll come out for Vegas? It would be cool to grab a drink or two. Either way, you'll be missed this year. Thanks again. Cheers, Lance. Well, why would we come to Vegas?
Next year. Next year, it'll rock.
Oh, done.
We should tell him we'll be in Vegas. We're coming to Vegas for New Year's Eve. Ask him if turn it around on him.
Do you think he'll come out for Vegas? I guess he means next year. Well, it's not Ontario's boring. The convention's stupid.
Right. Well, Ontario is boring.
And I know you sold my name, you fuckers.
Yeah.
You sold my name
and
address.
That's the biggest issue. You should add that to it.
Yeah. Add that to the paper. Sons of bitches.
While you're bitching about it, you really should bitch that. Right. After the show, you email him another thing, and then you email another email, and you say, and another thing.
How about you do it? You rate I did it. You know what I mean? And then you run it by me in your head.
Okay, funny guy.
Speaking of Brother Love, though, Brother Love got arrested on drug charges.
He sends me a text message last night, like, just got out of jail.
How's it going?
Call a motherfucker.
Right.
That's not all the information.
This afternoon, he was...
Yesterday afternoon,
he was out in the city. Matthew Bray...
of truthfilms.com.
Mm-hmm, and this very show came up to him, was on his bike. He has his big messenger bag. He says, says hi to each other, blah, blah, blah. They shake hands. Brother Love drives away, gets out of his car, or he got out of his car and then met Matt. I forget what. Oh, I think he was already out. Okay, he parked his car. He was out of his car, meets Matt. They say hi, shake hands. They start walking away. Brother Love goes to get sunglasses or something out of his bag. Two police officers walk over to him, and he goes, what did you just buy from that guy on the bike?
Because here in New York, messengers, like real actual messengers who, you know, go from one office to the next just to give a portfolio or whatever it is, look like drug dealers. Or drug dealers actually look like messengers. They all carry the messenger bag. They all have like pretty decent bikes, you know, because they're bikers. You know, they live on their bicycle. So this is Matthew Bray. He has the hooked up bike because he's really into bikes. He's got the messenger bag. I mean, so now here's my question. Brother Love got hassled by the police because of it. Why didn't Matt, the actual dealer who probably has a shit ton of stuff, if you're assuming he's a dealer, in his messenger bag? Like, what could Brother Love have bought? Like, a lot of times, if you're on the street, it's probably a dime bag or something like that.
Maybe.
Or whatever. Even if it's more than that, shouldn't the drug dealer have more than what he's...
They did not stop Matt. They did stop Brother Love.
Right. So don't you find that a little peculiar?
Who knows? I don't know. Maybe they're watching Matt now. Like, maybe they're waiting for, like, a bigger whatever.
Oh, a bigger thing.
But they're like, all right.
Didn't want to scare Matt away and, like, follow him on route or something or totally look into it.
So, obviously, he didn't buy drugs off Matt, but they start patting him down and this and that.
Patting Brother Love down.
Yeah, and in Brother Love's Jufro, two needles and a bag of crack.
He heard how good crack was from yesterday's show.
What is wrong with people? Don't go to City Crab and don't buy crack. You're not listening. No, but they did go through his bag, and he had a little pill bottle, and that pill bottle was the tiniest amount of weed.
And it's probably a tiny, tiny amount.
He said it's a very tiny amount, and he also said, like, he's trying to be like, that's it. I'm just going to my bag to show you what I have. You know, no needles or anything, no weapons. I have a PBA card in there. You know, I don't know if that interests you.
He still got arrested.
Yeah, and then he got, the handcuffs by that point were already on him. And
he should have thought of that first.
He's already there with another guy. Like, there's two cops, you know, so, like, it's not even like one cop can let you go. It's like the cop has a witness now or whatever. So he goes, okay, we're going to take you down to the station. It won't be a big deal. They take him down to the station.
And I know where they were. The station is just around the corner. And, in fact, years ago, my friend got busted pretty much around that block or that block or something exactly in that area. Same thing, except she was actually buying weed. As soon as they shook hands or whatever, as soon as they switched, screeching cars came from around the corner. It was like the biggest drug bust you've ever... Like, Keith, if you were on the street, you would be loving every minute of it.
She didn't buy that much, right?
She bought $10 worth of weed.
Wow.
She bought a dime bag. So
Now, are they watching her? Do they know this guy? Do they know
the guy, I think. Yeah, and I think the guy was walking or something. I don't know. They must have known the guy. I think the guy had prior arrests or whatever, probably all for, you know, the same kind of crap. So, And it's kind of like a, it's close to St. Mark's is what I assume where he is. And St. Mark's was for a while a pretty big drug-infested right. whatever. Now there's like a 12-step program over there. But anyway. So yeah, so she got arrested. He got, the drug dealer got arrested. What else? She got fingerprinted. The whole, like all through the system, she had a strip search. She had to bend in the strip search and cough. Like squat and cough.
Oh, if they did that, if they do like a cavity search to Brother Love, think how big he screams, you know?
Coughing. So she had to go through the whole thing. So
yeah, he gets run through the system. He's only there for a few hours, but he gets fingerprinted. Nowadays it's electronic. It's like an electronic pad.
That's scary though. It sucks. Not that he ever wants a real job or anything, but it's just like for this. You know, right, what right. a waste. What a waste. Right.
So that was it. But yeah, maybe they're watching you, Matthew.
That's scary maybe. To think about. And like I said, the messenger people are the ones, the messenger looking people are the ones that are also selling drugs. You can't tell the difference between them. And again, I had friends who used to have stuff delivered to their house. It's kind of right. cool, but I can't. Like, I don't know, going to people's house with illegal things, like you're already doing some illegal stuff now. But same friend would have these actual cute bike messengers coming over. She'd end up hanging out with them, smoking weed, like just having an afternoon.
All right. When I worked at Comfort Diner, I had a fellow waitress introduced cocaine to me. And I ended up calling one of her...
I don't like this girl.
Ended up calling one of her connections, and
are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, I thought like how many times did you do coke? You are a druggie.
I don't know, 10.
10, really?
Probably.
Okay, so she introduced you how? Because how?
By the way, I did stand up once on coke to see what it's like.
You're a mess, right?
It was horrible. I can never do it. I can never.
Which
do
is
it.
So weird because so many people do things completely.
I don't know how
up.
They do it. I don't know how Doug Stanhope's doing it on all those drugs he's fucking taken.
I think he's had more practice than you.
He's had more practice, and I'm sure. Like I'm also, it's my first time doing it on coke. The only time, you know, I'm probably you're fidgety from the coke, and now I'm also like, no, can they tell? I wonder if they. No, I'm in a freak art house. They all do fucking drugs. They know. Do I make reference to it? Is it weird if I make reference to it?
Oh, Fooey from before says Matt needs to take the battery out of his cell phone.
That's right.
when he's in the studio from now on, at least.
That's right. So anyway, by the way, supposedly my coke dealer was,
oh shit, with this crap
was, Kate Moss's coke dealer. So we did the same coke.
No wonder you're so skinny.
We probably snorted from the same batch. Ew. Probably.
You probably snorted her boogers. No, I'm just saying it'd be cool. That's all I'm saying. So, okay. How does somebody introduce you to coke? You're at work.
You wanted to done. Done.
Where are you at?
I don't know. She was this chick I was banging, and
sleeping with her.
I was at work. I did it at work the first time I did it. I believe.
And you functioned.
Yeah, but what are you doing? You know, you're not doing anything.
You're not scared.
I'm not scared. Nobody can tell. Or if they could tell, they would just think like I'm a mess. But I don't know. Here's your shit.
But seriously, how did she ask you? How close were you with this chick?
Close enough that she just said, like, you know, I have drugs with me or whatever she said.
Okay.
I'm like, okay.
All right.
This job sucks. I can't shit in anything anymore. It stinks too much. so I did it. And then I called her dealer once. I was over at a friend of mine's house, and the guy, like, pulls up in, like, this big black SUV. He happened to be African-American. That's neither here nor there. And I go out. I get in this car, you know, to make the transaction. And I'm thinking at any time, you could be a cop and I'm going to jail. I kind of expected it.
This is more big time, I think.
Sure.
Brian Coke.
Than weed? Of course it is, yeah. So, you know, he like shakes my hand and I'm waiting for like that to be when you slip on the cuff. You know, he gives it to me. I'm waiting for him to, you know, ask me to go, do you acknowledge that this is cocaine? And then like I got out of the car and I'm like, oh, that's good. I wasn't arrested. Why would I go into a situation where I'm kind of surprised I wasn't arrested? Oh, that's good.
Remember when my back went out? It was the first time I ever called a drug dealer. And
for weed?
Yeah, Andrea was over. Yeah, so I can calm my back down.
Right.
It's medicinal. So I think she went outside and I was like ready with the phone. Wait, was there, what was, I don't know. I was just ready to be like, ah, there goes my friend because she bought like $20 worth of weed. I don't understand how people are so calm about that stuff.
About buying weed?
About buying anything. I guess if you have a regular dealer or if you're calling somebody, but I don't know what you look like. I don't know who you are.
Right, right.
I'm getting into your car, and then she got into his car. And so what am
and
I
you feel like
to
they,
do?
Yeah, you feel like they could rob you if you want. Who are you going to call?
Yeah. They're coming over to the house. I didn't give them the house address. I gave them the back way, and, right. you know, we met them there because I need you knowing.
Right.
You sell drugs.
Right.
You're not an upstanding citizen to begin with.
When I get out of the car, I go, and
look, I'm judging them.
Right,
though.
Right.
I'm buying it.
Thank you, but think about your life.
My back hurts.
My back hurts. What are you doing? You didn't even ask me why. It's because of my back, but you didn't even ask me. I have a shit job and I'm ready to fucking shoot myself in the face. So I said, what the hey, let's do some coke. But you didn't even ask. What's Kate Moss's problem? I'd love to know.
She's on a diet program. Leave her alone.
We were playing this before this. Speaking of Brother Love, I love this. Let me lower the rock just a little bit.
Wow! The pop, that's Reese's with Hershey's.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow! The perfect combo.
Uh-huh.
The original.
Peanut butter chocolatey cereal.
Wow!
Part of this nutritious breakfast.
Wow!
That's why he got arrested. So it's a commercial for Reese's. It didn't come out yet, but it's an actual TV commercial. Kids are jumping around. I hope Brother Love's head pops on the screen. Like, just floats there, like that chicken Saturday Night Live commercial.
It should float over the words.
Right, right. And, but he says...
We were talking to him about the commercial.
Yeah, and he said, like, he says, like, this delicious chocolate treat, and then he had to go back and add the word E... And then they connected it chocolatey because the lawyer said, well, it's not really fucking chocolate.
And instead he got arrested anyway. Maybe he got arrested for...
But he said, I need it...
For saying right. chocolate.
They tried to get him to say it with more attitude. So he says, like, whatever... I'll play it again, but whatever the line is...
Peanut butter said, chocolatey cereal.
Is that his peanut butter chocolatey cereal, motherfucker? And then he goes, part of this nutritious breakfast, bitch. And I'm like, that's perfect. We're taking out the bad words, and that's perfect. So when you see the commercial, he swore on both lines...
Yeah, because it was taking him a while to do it, and he's like, I can't do it. And out of frustration, he just did those lines. One of them was bitch, and one of them was with motherfucker, and they took that.
Wow! The pop, that's Reese's with Hershey's.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow! The perfect combo.
Uh-huh.
The original.
Peanut butter chocolatey cereal.
Bitch.
Part of this nutritious breakfast.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. Stoners love Reese's too.
I could just see him doing it. You know, when you do things like that, of course you have to act like a retard, even though nobody could see you. So that, wow, delicious. You actually have to, like, you force yourself to raise your eyebrows and do it that way. Otherwise, it's not going to come out like you're excited. So we need to.
It does look,
he needs to take us on these things so we could videotape them.
I used to see actors, you know, you'd see it on commercial, the making of, you know, whatever Walt Disney production, and you'd have the actor like moving his hands and whatever.
Right.
And I'm thinking, like, why
nobody
you? You don't have to act it out, but it definitely helps. And when I was reading my book, if a line seemed stagnant or I was stumbling over it, I'd start talking with my hands like I'm there. You know, I really did a line of coke on page 52.
you can hear Keith snorting while
right.
he's doing his book.
But yeah, it absolutely helps. Yeah, you have to look like a jerk off to get that stuff to come out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially when you're screaming, wow, peanut buttery chocolate right. goodness.
But what are we thinking? About 2 months?
The book?
Yeah.
Yeah, about. We're going to have a book release situation, whatever, getting together, and he's going to read from his book. According to Matt, we'll have some Dodgeball DVD stuff to play for you as well at that thing. So we're going to hook it up. We'll give a date pretty soon, I think in October.
Very cool. This is a new game show. Kind of has to do with the police, I think. It's called Lie Detector, and it's a new Fox game show set out to embarrass liars. Fox is shooting a game show proving the old adage that it doesn't pay to lie. Or does it? Then it doesn't prove that
this
adage.
This is a TV show?
It's a TV show called Nothing But the Truth, a hit in Colombia. It uses a lie detector in a series of 21 increasingly personal questions.
Is there an urban version of this? Like, is that your baby?
Right, right. To judge whether contestants are telling the truth. If they pass, they win up to $50,000 and can walk away with their winnings at any time.
And cry.
Oh, my God. Did you cheat on your wife? I'm going to take the money.
Like, they would even ask that.
They do.
No.
If they fail, they face the wrath of family and friends sitting in the studio audience. Call it squirm TV of the most uncomfortable kind.
Wait, so the more you tell the truth, the more money you get?
Correct.
So that's, every time you pass the lie like. Detector test, you get more money.
Right. The show came from my growing disgust of how dishonest this world has become. Says Howard Schultz, the LA-based producer who created the show.
Wow.
As well as Next, an Extreme Makeover.
Next? What?
Next? I was upset at how I wasn't getting laid, right. So I decided people should be able to embarrass other people. In a sense, it's a tremendous play-along for people at home. You're not only judging the individual on whether they're telling the truth, but you end up asking yourself the same questions, really? Truth is getting huge ratings in Colombia, the first country to get it on the air. Yeah, except then they like electrocute you if you fail.
I'm going to warn people that don't watch this with your spouse if you haven't been telling them the truth all this time. Because This is the kind of show where somebody turns over to the person sitting next to them and go, would you?
Right.
Did
I bet you did. I'm getting a test. You'd fail. Remember that time you cheated on me, by the way?
Right, yeah. So, but, and when you first told me about this right before, I thought it was like Sony PlayStation putting out something like this, and I was like, this is awesome.
Like it's a game that you play in your house?
Like it's a game that you can buy.
That'd be even worse.
I was like, oh my God, a lie detector test that you can buy, like, for your home.
You're a little too far into the future. You put your thumb on the X.
Exactly. And then it's coming.
Questions have...
Where were you tonight? Let's play a game.
Let's play a game. Questions have included, have you ever cheated on your wife?
And, whoa.
Wow, what if you even... Man, what a great fucking game. And you know what? Idiots will play this game, you know, because they think they can beat it, A. B, you see all these idiots lining up on Maury, lining up on the Jerry Springer show, and they're like, you know, I don't look stupid.
No, nobody thinks it's them that's going to look bad.
You know what? You and your wife, your wife knows that you cheated on her. You've talked about it. You convinced yourself it makes you stronger.
Maybe.
But now you're on TV. Do you admit it? If you do admit it, now you just embarrass your wife. If you don't admit it, you don't get the money. And then you, either way, you hear about it forever from your bitch wife. And you just wanted to buy her something nice. Make a little scratch. This game is good. Questions have included, have you cheated on your wife? And do you consider yourself a better person than your mother-in-law? And you try to make a joke, and they try to make you say yes or no? Well, of course I'm a better person. No. Yes or no?
Yeah, you should be the host of this.
On the show, each contestant takes a backstage polygraph test, which is used to gauge their truthiness while they're interrogated on the air. Schultz says that he originally produced the Truth pilot for NBC, then sold the format to England and Australia, blah, 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 blah. Truth has been fast-tracked in Brazil, Germany, Spain, France, and many other countries. This has become a universal issue. Spin doctoring is just a fancy word for lying, he said. It's much harder to hold on to lies than to hold on to the truth. Schultz says he expects Fox will finish shooting Truth by the end of October, but he's not at liberty to reveal the host. I think I've disclosed something of a chord that needs to be struck for all of us.
Why does he think this is so deep?
Yeah, it's not. You're not changing the way we live, dude.
You're actually ruining the way we live by people admitting. It's like those psychiatrists who think they're really helping when they're on a talk show. Don't you understand that psychologically this is not good for this person to talk to their teenager or for their teenager to be so embarrassed on this show, but oh no, you're a psychiatrist, so as long as they're talking to you, it's okay?
You know, now that you think about it, all you're doing is taking shows like Ricky Lake and putting them on at night. They actually do this now that I think about it.
Yes.
Fooey's saying, can we put politicians on that show, Truth?
Yeah, who's he sick of telling lies? Somebody who cheats on their wife?
Right. singer Amy Winehouse and her husband, Blake Felder Civil, finally admitted they have a drug problem, and they checked into rehab over the weekend.
What, to each other, to themselves? I think we knew.
Apparently, Amy collapsed last week after taking a cocktail of heroin, ecstasy, cocaine, and the horse tranquilizer ketamine.
Jesus.
How do you even know?
Wow.
When you fit it.
How do you know to mix those
in restaurants? Yeah. In restaurants, I ask what the ingredients are. This girl's like, I'm just taking everything. And how do you know if you like it? You're like, I'll never find that perfect high. Because you don't know what you did.
Maybe once you're high, you're like, you know what would be fun right now? And then it just keeps going. Right. Like when you're high and weed, like Coke sounds fun. When you're high and Coke, K sounds fun.
You know what would be fun? Every opposite together at the same time.
You know what would be fun? A heart attack.
You know what would be fun? Something made for horses and I'm 85 pounds.
That's a good point.
She was reported to have been caught smoking heroin in her suite by a friend, at which point her father, Mitch, flipped. Taxi driver Mitch arrived the next day with his wife, Janice, and Fielder Civil's stepfather, Guile Civil, and mother, Georgette.
Was that the news describing the father as flipping?
As, what?
He flipped.
He flipped.
Oh.
According to a source close to the family, the meeting descended into a row, and at one point, Mr. Winehouse grabbed Mr. Civil by the throat. A source said, it broke Amy's heart to see her parents and in-laws fighting. That was when she realized the drink and drugs were causing problems for everyone.
Also, that's when the K kicked in.
Totally different story. Police have used a stun gun to subdue a man who smeared himself with feces and blood after being thrown out of the Gold Coast nightclub.
Isn't that what they tell you to do when you're being raped or attacked or whatever? Just be like the grossest you can be so nobody touches you.
Get out. You're not dressed right. I'll show you not fucking dressed right. Can I come in now? I gotta call the police. Come on. Can I come in? It's a feces suit. Officers were called after a security guard was assaulted by a man who had been evicted from the club in Orchard Avenue, Surfers Paradise, around 3:30 a.m. this morning. By the time officers arrived, the man had undressed himself and covered his entire body in feces and blood. Where'd he get the blood?
Yeah.
From the feces? He was digging
too
hard.
From his coke nose.
By the time officers arrived, when he refused to cooperate with the police, that's weird, he didn't cooperate. I'm telling you, put this stuff in police recruiting commercials. It really is the toughest job you'll ever love. Put that. Show a picture of people busting Brother Love. Like, you can have this job and make a difference. Standing by the subway board, hitting on chicks. Be a New York City officer.
And once that person rides, because somebody has to have them ride in their car. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to arrest him and not walk him to a station. So that right. guy's going to be made fun of the whole time.
You gotta
like, put him in the shit box.
Right, right. Can I park at number four, or is that where the porta potty is?
Or is that, okay. or is that in a number two?
Hey, shitty. I didn't do it.
Are you going to change your license plate to number 2222?
You shit box. I didn't do it. Okay, you coming to the party tonight? Yeah, I am. Okay, but don't dress yourself in shit. I'm not the one who dressed in shit. You know I didn't do that. When he refused to cooperate with police, officers used a taser weapon, which delivers a short-lived electronic shot to subdue him. Now, when you get tasered, there's a little piece of feces on it.
Ew. Yes.
A 34-year-old Brisbane man charged with bodily harm and obstructing police is due to appear in Southport Magistrates Court August 27th.
Actually, they were probably treating him like that homeless guy that we saw when we were on Matt's birthday when we were walking back to our car. There was a homeless guy sleeping, refusing to get up. He's probably, like, drunk as hell. Oh, yeah. And all the cops had gloves on and trying to lift him, but he's so heavy and they're
Here's
trying to talk to him.
They don't want
to
touch him. Like, come on.
Right.
Just stand up and come on. Come on.
Just come with us. Come on.
Come on. Who wants to do it? Who wants to take? Who wants to touch him?
Right.
Come on.
And then one tries to lift him. And then, right. Yeah.
I can't. Toughest job you'll ever love. Michael Vick, the star Atlanta Falcon quarterback. He has, in fact, been indicted on federal dogfighting charges. He took pit bulls, put them against each other, and him and his buddies would bet on them.
Where does that go on? And
where does he do that, right?
And who's the one who leaked it? Like, one of your friends is an asshole.
If a listener knows, let's do that while we're in Atlanta.
Speaking of Atlanta, keithandthegirl.com/events. We're going to be there for a live show Friday night at the Dragon Con. All the stuff is going to, well, not all the stuff. Friday night we'll be at the Dragon Con. Brother Love is following our live show. Then there's a party that we're going to find out more information of that Friday night that we are going to be attending. The next day, Beer Chick will be taking us on a brewery tour that's not at the Dragon Con. The next night is another party. All the stuff is on /events. I'm going to keep adding on to it. And all through the weekend, Keith and I will be on panels at the Dragon Con, so we'll be running our big mouth no matter what the topic is. It'll be about us. And then
I can't wait to come back and say that it was stupid.
It better not be worth spending so much money. And then Monday night, we're actually staying, even though there's nothing going on at the Dragon Con, so we're going to talk to some people on the forums and see, you know, maybe meeting up for dinner and some drinks and just kind of partying after the nerd convention.
Hey, what's going on? You're on Keith and the Girl.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys had any plans on attending the Digital Life Expo.
What is that? What's that?
What is this? What is it?
It's in New York City.
Oh.
Okay. When is it?
So it's like consumer electronics, gaming, audio, video, all kinds of stuff.
Maybe
pretty much.
Okay.
It's September 27th through 30th at Jacob K. Javis Convention Center.
September 27th.
We'll look into it.
Okay. Can you send us an email, maybe?
Yeah, I'll send you an email about it, but I can send you like a press contact, because I have a press contact for that, so you can get free registration and everything.
Okay.
We like
free. All right, I'll send it to you.
All right, very good.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Dude.
All right, y'all.
Bye. Peace.
Here's a story from Atlanta, Georgia, speaking of it. When Erica Close was pregnant, she figured breastfeeding would be a breeze. After all, she'd read all the books and taken all the classes.
Did she read all the books?
All of them.
That's bad reporting, really.
After an easy birth, she brought home her baby, Charlie, and waited for paradise to begin.
Are you serious?
Who
this is what they're writing.
Who
what the
for
hell?
Paradise?
Did a person who has never been pregnant right. before.
Then this son,
after a breezy right. labor. Right.
Then this son of bitch son of mine started crying. Where was the paradise? But instead of paradise, it was a nightmare. Charlie wouldn't latch onto her breast. She was in a horrible pain. She had to wake up every 2 hours around the clock to pump milk and then feed it to Charlie from a bottle. He had colic. What's that? And cried nearly all the time. She'd been so devoted to the idea of breastfeeding, but now felt like quitting. I felt betrayed and completely deceived because nobody told me it would be this hard.
Oh my God, just go to a doctor.
It was the darkest time of my life.
You had a really good life.
Right.
That's the darkest part of your life. People are dying around people at young ages.
Darkest part of my life. So I took
the
baby and I microwaved them.
Did you hear about our canoe tipping over?
By the way, Matt, last time he was on, we were talking about Family Guy for a second. It was just like there's so many funny things in there that the joke is just that you can't make a joke about this. You know, it's not really like a clever joke. Like I just saw Family Guy fairly recently, and the joke was, this is the joke, this is the clever joke.
On Family Guy?
On Family Guy, they're in a, maybe this is an old episode, but I just saw it. They're in an ocean, like, or a lake, and they're all swimming or whatever. And Peter Griffin, the dad, goes, hey, look, this is my impression of postpartum depression. And he takes Stewie and starts drowning him, the little baby, and goes, ah, I'm sad about things. Wow, I'm sad about things. That was the whole joke. And you know what? It was hilarious because this world is fucking fake uptight. And thank God, because we will have a show as long as this world acts fake uptight. Act like everything's offensive. According to new members from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 74% of mothers try breastfeeding, but after 3 months, only 30% still exclusively nurse their babies. After 6 months, the number dwindled down to 11%.
How long are you supposed to breastfeed?
Probably that amount
probably
of time. They don't have that. The study didn't track the reasons the women quit nursing. Well, that could be important. But experts, including Los Angeles, California lactation consultant.
Wow.
Again, something your guidance counselor never told you about, a lactation consultant.
Right.
Corky Harvey said many women have a hard time nursing and don't know where to turn for help and don't know what to do. And there's a list of mistakes people make or what they're supposed to be doing. I had to quit at the first one, but I will read this first one to you. Moms get intimidated breastfeeding in public, and that could be why a lot of people quit breastfeeding.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people find it weird. I do. Sorry, moms. I do. Nice tit. Here's the solution. Have a snappy comeback at the ready.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There's your doctor said this. Chloe says occasionally mothers in her group reported getting nasty comments when they breastfed in public. She suggests having a few retorts at the ready. On her website, crankylittleman.com, she has these two suggestions. Quote, if you're uncomfortable seeing my baby eat, you're welcome to cover yourself with this baby blanket. I'll let you know when we're done.
That's a bad comeback.
You dumb bitch.
That's also a mean comeback.
Yeah, I'll let you know when we're done. You could use it. Could I?
Can you just say excuse me because my baby has to eat?
No, I want to say something to these moms so they say something dumb back so I can escalate it. Here's the other one. She gave two. Here's the other one. You think this is something, you ought to see where he came out. You know
oh
what
my
I would
God,
say? Do you think
your,
I'd be embarrassed? Yeah, I would say, really? Let me see your cunt. That's what you mean, your cunt. Okay. Now we're talking. That's going to make somebody that couldn't help themselves had to be smarmy to you fucking relax. Yeah, you should see where it come from.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's true. They had the balls to say something to...
Right. Oh, you mean
to
your
woman who's feeding her child?
Oh, your bottom half lip wrinkles. Let's take a look at those. Okay. Now we're talking. And then I'll show you my ball sack and we can eat out each other, you dumb good mothering. I'm sure you're not going to raise a douche.
Wow.
You should see where it came from. You should see. You should see the cock that made this. You think this is disgusting? You should see my husband's uncircumcised penis. It holds smegma, you know. That's a real word. What? It's a real word. Check the dictionary, asshole.
Oh, God.
Yeah? What, does it look anything like your mom's?
What the fuck? No. Okay.
That's the lady saying.
That's good. That's good.
You get the idea?
Yeah, I think so.
I dare you, slut mothers, to say something. And what are people saying? Nice tit.
I think they're just saying, like, you're, uncomfortable, or they might be staring without realizing.
It's very weird. It's very weird. Now, why don't you just give that kid some bacon? Very good point on the feedback. Very good point. The Dominican parade was 2 days ago. Let's take a guess at home how much violence occurred. Hundreds of thousands of people lined 6th Avenue in New York yesterday to wave the Dominican flag with pride during a joyous celebration marred up, oh, that's sad, by three violent incidents. Junior Martinez, 16, of the Bronx, said he was proud of his Dominican heritage, not to mention Dominican women. He said, they're the most beautiful girls in the world. I find that racist, and I blame his parents. Sad. Pathetic. I find it pathetic. Violence was reported at three locations, at 43rd Street at 2 p.m., at 46th Street an hour later, and 59th Street at 4:30 p.m. The victim at 46th Street was stabbed and also hit on the head with a bottle during a fight between two groups, according to witnesses.
Oh, my God.
Entire groups are fighting. Dominican parade and Puerto Rican parade. And I've said this before.
And other they hate parades, being right, compared to each other, right, Puerto Ricans and Dominicans.
Well, quit acting the same. Italian parades, St. Patrick's Day. Today, we're all a little Irish. Nobody ever says, today, we're all a little Puerto Rican.
Nobody says we're all a little Jewish either.
Right. It was not clear how the victims at the other locations were hurt. Then you didn't do your research, newspaper. This is from the Post. But don't do my story, but this is fine. It was not clear how victims... I wasn't immediately told. I shot it in the air. How did it happen? Nobody immediately responded, but I had to do the article anyway. It was not immediately clear if anyone had been arrested. No way to find that out. Despite the violence, it was a great parade, said Stephanie Balest, 18, of the Bronx. That's it. Did they need one more quote? Somebody else? Anybody else want to say it's a good time? Yeah, okay. What's your name and age? I can't just make it up. Things happen. There's a lot of people out here. When it gets crowded like this, there's going to be drama. What a great way to live. Still, other attendees were concerned. It's our community. This is what we don't want to happen, said a 40-year-old.
You're also representing the whole team today.
Right.
You're representing the whole team.
See all those cameras? Behave today. I don't know why people are so racist. Of course, it's scary. It could have happened to me or anyone else. Still, he thought the parade was pretty good, but added, it could have been a little longer. Maybe if everybody behaved. But lucky for you, it didn't. So you're still alive.
It took hours. How much longer do you want to walk in a parade or look at people for?
Here's more Now I'm on a roll. Here's more ridiculousness from the Post. Here's a picture. It's the Inquirer. Here's Rosie O'Donnell on the back of a boat, on the back of a motored boat. It just says Rosie has a sinking feeling.
This is a very small boat. It looks like her and her girlfriend, right?
Her daughter, and she's not sinking. Or anything.
The boat looks like it's tipping in her direction.
Because she's
so
fat. Who needs an anchor? It says, who needs an anchor when you got Rosie?
That's evil.
And print. And perfect. Editor liked it. The boss okayed it.
Let me see the picture.
Sure. And then read it. And then read what's on there. Who needs an anchor?
Rosie has sinking feeling.
Rosie has a sinking feeling.
Oh,
of
man.
What? She's a sinking feeling of what? That's all.
That's so evil.
Who's, let me see that again.
Sorry.
Who needs an anchor? Rosie O'Donnell goes a bit overboard as she enjoys a boat ride with daughter Chelsea. Why don't you just put daughter in quotes while you're at it, by the way?
Oh.
You know? Boat ride with her daughter Chelsea near her Miami home. Son Blake also joined in the fun, which included mom riding a jet ski. I hope she didn't eat him.
She rode a jet ski. We're not sure how, since she's an anchor.
Same newspaper, The Post. A flying car with a Dodge Emlyn appears in the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. It's like a space car, but it has the word Dodge on it. Dodge may have coughed up $1 million to $2 million for the privilege. Maybe they coughed up $60 billion. Call somebody. We bet it was probably a pretty penny. Send, print, okayed. On your doorstep in the morning. Wow.
They have deadlines, baby. Right, deadlines.
And then you're at home and you look and go, wow, that is insane. You get to like halfway through the newspaper, you're done. It's all shit. I mean, it's all shit in the beginning, but it's all shit. Halfway through the paper, I'm fucking done. Oh, this may have cost a lot. I bet it did. I mean, think about it. I mean, you don't know this world. I don't either. We can't even begin to guess. Millions they deal in. Millions.
Before you go on, let me quickly, I just remembered that this Friday we're going to Somerset, your hometown, and we have to leave early. So we're not going to have a midnight show, but we are going to have a noon show. So this Friday, this show will start at noon instead of midnight.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Do you think we can convince your brothers to get on?
Yeah, I doubt it. Which is fine. I'll just keep talking about them from my point of view. The future owners of Dennis Publishing's men's titles, plan to fold stuff. Stuff is going to close.
And the magazine stuff?
Stuff magazine is going to close and just be a little section in Maxim magazine. FHM is what already failed.
So FHM, which is kind of a copy of Stuff, closed.
Yeah.
Stuff is closing and it's going to be a section of Maxim, but it's the same magazine, all these three, you know?
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
They're from different companies, although whatever, but why do you... really good. Why do you think it's shutting down?
You know what? It isn't as funny as it used to be, I will say that,
really?
But I don't think that's why. You know, people aren't really reading it like I'm reading it. They're just getting it for the chicks.
The chicks alone should be selling it, right?
I don't know. The news apparently...
Every hot chick in Hollywood, even when they say they don't want to do that kind of thing, does it.
Right.
So weird.
No word on the fate of Stuff staffers. John Lumpkin, the publisher of Stuff, said a change in Stuff's publishing schedule was news to him. There's been no discussion of suspending publication, he says, but everybody knows this is true and it doesn't come as a surprise.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
When you read about that you lost your job in the Hollywood Insider.
Yeah. And it's a shame also that stuff like... those girly magazines that don't teach you anything but think that they're talking about important lip gloss and blush situations, they go on and on.
That's true.
This is actual... I don't know. I've read these magazines. They're fun.
But you know what? They're fun, but you know what? I don't know. Maybe you can only, you know, work out so many times. The guy that did the...
I don't know. They have the new gadgets in there, and I understand that it's a, you know, promotional thing, and it's just a commercial, but it's still fun. Like, to find out the gadgets through Maxim or Suffer or those magazines... They know who they're gearing the magazines to. I mean, it's one of the few magazines that make sense.
No,
like on a general level, if you're not just, you know, focused on one thing that you need to buy a magazine for.
Well, the news hardly comes as a shock to people. Dennis launched Stuff as a smaller circulation, shopping-focused title to block EMAP's FHM from gaining ground on Maxim by offering advertisers a lower-cost alternative to Maxim. Yeah. There was Maxim and then FHM, and then they did a magazine just so... FHM couldn't ruin Maxim. Does that make sense?
Not really.
VHM came out.
Just to compete with their prices?
To compete with their advertising prices and take,
Wow, harsh. Fooey says, girls buy magazines. Guy go to the internet and get it for free. That's maybe a point, right?
This year through August, Stuff's ad pages declined 3.4% to 392 per blah, blah, blah. Total paid and verified circulation, meanwhile, declined 4.8% to 1.2 million in the second half of 2006. Single copy sales plummeted 35%.
35% is a huge amount.
Who wills?
Oh, well.
Who's ready for a little Andy Rooney?
Ooh.
I am. Here's Andy Rooney last Sunday on men's clothing. Men's clothing. So we don't have Stuff to tell us how to dress, but we have Andy Rooney.
A while ago, I talked about fashion, and I had a copy of Town & Country magazine with an ad for a man's suit that sold for $2,400. I said I might buy this. The editor, Pamela Fiore, sent me a picture of me in the suit.
They sent you, because you talked about something, they sent you a Photoshop picture of you in a suit.
That's,
you
know, weird. It's only a $2,400 suit?
Yeah, you know
you're
what
Andy
do?
Rooney.
You know
just give it.
For real reporters, Andy, they give you the suit.
Yeah.
Better. Fiore sent me a picture of me in the suit. I never looked better. $2,400 is about what I've paid for my suits over the past 50 years. That's 24 suits at $100 each. Men's fashions have changed as much as women's. For instance, men aren't wearing neckties as much as they used to. Most of the men you see on the street don't have one on.
Is that
That's
true?
That's his huge change in fashion for men. How about how men are dressing like girls nowadays?
Right.
Get a picture of that. Your intern probably looks like that. Do something.
They call it metrosexual. I remember when we called them faggots. Gays. Homos.
Usually wear a necktie, even though I think it's sort of silly to tie a colored cloth around your neck. If he doesn't wear a tie, a man leaves the top button of his shirt undone. The trouble with that is, then his underwear shows.
What?
That's what they call it. That's what old people call t-shirts.
Oh, undershirt.
Underwear.
Oh, my God. He's really that old.
Right, right.
Come on.
On your neck. If he doesn't wear a tie, a man leaves the top button of his shirt undone. The trouble with that is, then his underwear shows.
That noise.
Woman wouldn't.
That noise is because they're out on the street.
They're out on the street and sounds like a subway or a bus. Like you had to show
people.
Us.
Showing people. Okay.
Around like this with her underwear showing.
Girls do
if
that,
if a man
though.
Wears a necktie, it's usual for him to wear a jacket. Some men, though, wear a tie and no jacket. A few wear a jacket and no tie.
Oh, my God. This is what? The fashion of a wedding. Stop it.
Or you could wear, some people wear pink shirts now. Green shirts, blue shirts.
Most men don't wear a jacket or a tie.
All right.
Wear
he's
a
making...
jacket. If a man wears a necktie, it's usual for him to wear a jacket. Some men, though, wear a tie and no jacket.
No way.
A few wear a jacket and no tie. Most men don't
actually,
wear a jacket.
Actually, a lot of guys
a
now wear a jacket
when
and
you
no
see
tie.
Two men together.
That's the fashion right now if you're going to notice things.
Most men don't wear a jacket or a tie. When you see two men together, either neither is wearing a tie or they're both wearing a tie. Birds of a feather flock together.
You may have heard that one before. I wrote it when I was 12.
Probably has to do with whether the boss wears one. A man who wears a coat is more apt to wear a necktie.
Oh, my God.
A strange thing, though, a lot of men who wear a coat don't wear it. They take it off and carry it. Some of the old traditions are gone. White-collar workers often wear blue collars. Blue-collar workers often wear white.
You park in a driveway, and you drive on a parkway.
Seems likely that men who wear ties make more money than men who do not. Hard to say whether ties make them successful or whether they start wearing ties after they are successful.
Well, take an extra 5 minutes out of your day and think it through.
How about their bosses make them do it or their job demands it?
Mm.
You know, the male person at some offices have to wear a tie.
Right.
That doesn't mean sleeveless McGee over here in my office is making less than that.
Men on the street wearing neckties carry a briefcase or important papers very often. The tie
no, they don't. No, they don't. Important papers? What important papers?
Carry a briefcase or important papers very often. The tie clip business is even slower than the necktie business. You
did you check that
see
out?
A man wearing
did,
one.
Did you actually look it up? Did somebody tell you?
Sorry.
Or are you
important
guessing?
Important papers very often. The tie clip business is even slower than the necktie business. You seldom see a man wearing one. They prefer to have their neckties flapping in the breeze. Men with tie clips often wear folded handkerchiefs in their breast pocket. Suspenders are a thing of the past, except for Larry King.
Oh, by the way, tomorrow night
although, here's a guy with suspenders, but no shirt, coat, or necktie.
In conclusion, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
One reason for wearing a necktie doesn't have anything to do with how it looks.
Look at Avril
Lavigne. When you get home at night, it feels so good to loosen it.
And scene.
I'm angry at my dad now because he watches Andy Rooney. Because he didn't say a fucking thing. He named every style guys wear. He didn't teach
no,
you
he
anything.
Didn't. He named every style there is in wearing a suit.
Right.
You can take off the jacket. You could put on the jacket. You could take it off the tie. You could put on the tie. Johnson Rice from Connecticut says, I think Andy should hang himself with a tie.
Yes.
There's a style.
Idiot. Oh, well. My dad watches that. And you know what? When Andy Rooney said, the good thing, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but listen to this. It feels good to undo a tie. Yes, it does. And all these old people are watching.
Right.
It really does.
Right.
It really does.
It's a sense of accomplishment of
right.
the day. Like, you're done and you did things.
Right.
Fooey sends this in. Andy Rooney, do boxers really wear boxer shorts? And what about jockeys? Personally, I go commando, but at least it isn't a thong.
Oh, Andy. Anything else before we get out of here?
Always check out the website. Go to keithandthegirl.com/live, and that's it on my end.
See you tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
I don't know why people write letters to magazines, because it accomplishes nothing except to make me angry when I'm trying to read a magazine. Like, it's bad enough there's 50 pages of ads, and then there's perfume in it and stuff like that. But I always forget about letters. That's like another little slap in the face as I'm trying to get to the meat, the magazine meat. Turn the page up. Oh, that's right, letters! Who cares? Sometimes magazines will have multiple pages of letters, like letters on every single article. Are you kidding me? I don't care what one of these idiots has to say, much less all of them. You know these letters are intended for you, right, magazine? Not for all of us. They're trying to talk to you. All the letters are addressed to the editors. I'm not an editor of this magazine. If I am, I have been asleep at the wheel. Please continue to withhold my paycheck. Like, I can maybe understand it if you're mad at the magazine, right? There's something in there that got a bee in your bonnet. And you need to fire off your angry missive. Dear magazine, I am most displeased. There. I hope they printed. You have struck a blow for all of us. Thanks for standing up. You are like the Rosa Parks of Maxim. Somebody's got to do something. Those were not the 100 sexiest women. But what I don't understand is when people write a letter to a magazine just to say how much they enjoyed a particular article, or how much they agreed with a particular review. At that point, you might as well just write a letter to your grocery store. Hey, grocery store, thanks for putting your eggs in a carton. It makes it a lot easier to get them home. You guys thought of everything. Hey, I'm on a letter right and tear. Dear alarm clock, thanks for waking me up in the morning. Too bad you can't read this because you're just a thing. The worst letters are the letters that people write to Entertainment Weekly, because people write letters to Entertainment Weekly just to say how much they liked the picture on the cover. That's their whole letter. That's it. That's the whole letter. Like, they saw just the cover of the magazine and they went, oh, I have to put my feelings into words. Dear Entertainment Weekly, thanks so much for putting a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio on the cover of your magazine. I like him, so you can imagine I was sure pleased to see a picture of him on the front of your book. It is nice of you to put pictures of things I like on your magazine front part. For future reference, here's some other things I like. I like tomatoes, umbrellas, all kinds. Some dogs, most cats. There's a cat in my neighborhood named Speedy I'm awful fond of. Maybe you could put a picture of him on your magazine. I don't know if you'd send a photographer to take a picture of him or a sketch artist to draw a picture of him, but you better be quick because they don't call him Speedy for nothing. Oh, well, all the blood's leaving my head now, so I better sign off. Love, the emptiest person alive.